In this episode of CUL Drag Race Tea Time, Gary and Damon hit the clubs as the queens give us drag race after dark. In a design challenge to celebrate the nightlife, the girls are painting and presenting their hip and trendy clubs, then strut the stage in their plastic fantastique. The Cubs give their critiques on this fun new challenge. Whose club has a waiting list and which is shutting down? Dance the night away. A COL Drag Race Tea Time All-Stars Season 4, Episode 7 starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey, Kitty Girls, it's Sunday, January 27th, 2019, and welcome to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, where we're discussing All-Stars Season 4, Episode 7, Queens of the Clubs. For those of you that may not be aware, there are two of us that are magical co-stars here as the co-host. My name's Gary, and with me is...
Hello, everyone. It's Damon. Let's do this. Let's go out to the club and get crunk and just whatever. I can't even anymore.
I don't know about the crunk thing. I will say this. We're going to get into it in a moment. I'm surprised that part of the challenge was the alcohol piece, because I was like, ooh, girl, we've learned through all these seasons that drag queens and alcohol do not mix.
Talk about that. We don't talk about like untucks like in the first few seasons when they were getting wasted. we don't talk about.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, you ready to jump into talking about the challenge?
Let's do it.
Now, for this week's Maxi Challenge, working in teams, you'll create and host your own legendary club night.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So, y'all got to do this challenge where you have to put together yourselves, not only in teams, but then come up with a concept. You have to you have to create the name of the club, the aesthetic, design it.
Mm-hmm.
As we'll see in a moment, paint the walls, literally pick the furnishings. All of it's got to be to theme, and then you need to provide entertainment. You have to have a signature drink, and you have to make sure that the judges are on the VIP panel list, so they can sit in the VIP section.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of stuff.
It was. Should I get in my thoughts? Should I go there?
I want to recognize the judging panel just real quick. Because they were very colorful and they looked really good. So for those of you that are not aware, Suzanne Barsh, the lovely lady in the black and white next to RuPaul in the picture here on our video, is the most infamous club promoter, put together organizer, coordinator in New York City. She is the one that gave RuPaul her beginning. It's quite interesting. It took us all the way till All-Stars 4 to get Miss Suzanne on as a guest judge. But that may have had to do something with the scheduling. So I thought that was pretty awesome. And then we had Rita Ora. I don't know who the hell she is. She's cute. But
so Rita Ora is a... I want to say Canadian, but I'm probably wrong.
That's okay.
But she's a singer. She was a club hit singer, and I've seen I've seen a couple of her things. Oh, she's British. Excuse me. Pardon me. I was wrong.
That's okay.
But I found out about her randomly through iTunes. Believe it or not, I got she was one of my free downloads back. Oh, several years ago. And I've not necessarily been following her, but it was like, oh, okay, I recognize the name, and I've seen some of her music and heard some of her music, not seen some of her music. She's a cutie, and she definitely liked to have fun. So that was cool.
Yeah, she maintained herself well in the challenge, like as a judge. Like, I didn't feel like she got all crazy and out of line. Mm-hmm. Necessarily. So yeah, it was interesting. Plus she adds a little youth to the panel.
Mm-hmm.
because they're all a little aged to be going to the club. Just saying. So,
this is why they did the club at that like 2 p.m.
Oh, ain't that the truth? So, RuPaul gives Latrice a little bonus because she got to stay into this episode. She picked the teams. Mm-hmm. So she put Trinity and Manila together and then decided to join them.
Yeah.
So this actually is from John Pauley's Extra Lap Recap. It really cracked me up because he gave all of them – he renamed them because their particular thing was the Hive, which was based all on bees and stuff. But instead he called them Team Latrine Uzon. So he was making cute names of their stuff. And then they had a black and yellow and gold and white kind of color aesthetic. Manila, obviously, as a designer, graphic designer, was the person to have on your team because she was going to pull that look together and give everybody that ability to have some cohesiveness to a particular item, which made me, you know, very happy. So, and you could not put together a more motley looking crew. Yes, they're all wearing yellow and black, but there is nothing else between the three of them.
Exactly. Like, my favorite thing is I love Trinity kind of picked this, like, purple, which is a complementary color of yellow, if I remember correctly. I have to do my circle.
Color wheel,
color wheel circle thing. It's a complementary color of yellow. So it works surprisingly well. I was like, oh. And then I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. In this particular shot, she has blue gloves on and her hair is a purplish blue. It's closer to the color of the blue of the gloves than this picture is giving credit for. But I agree with you. It was a nice pop of color to stand out from all the black and yellow going on.
Yep.
And, of course, okay. Latrice has the beehive, which kind of, like, started the whole thing. And she's got all these lovely, like, bee applique, like, you know, kind of pins or whatever in her hair. I was like, yes! And it was funny because a couple other people commented on it. Trixie, I think, in the pit stop called it correctly. Trixie Mattel said, she is giving me Motormouth Mabel from Hairspray.
So
spot on perfect. And I couldn't agree less. I was like, yes, that's definitely.
Yeah, that makes so much sense now.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's what she was attempting, but like knowing that that's an iconic kind of character that exists out there already, I can see her filling that role. And then we ended up with Team Sponge Cow Stunning, also known as Monique and Monet, and their club was called The Black Hole, which I was like, dun, 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 double entendre. Imagine that.
Yes.
Which Michelle Visage did make a cute story, kind of joke about. So theirs was a space theme, but it was supposed to be Black Hole, so I think there was a little confusion at times. Like, wait, is it in a black hole? Is it space? Like, what's the story? I loved how Monique and Monet kind of played it off like, it's just a mess. Like, it's just whatever you want it to be. Like, it's everything and anything.
Yeah, space. The space as broad as space.
Very true.
It was very much and what's funny, I hope they didn't mean to do this intentionally, but like they could go really well in the beehive.
Looking at this photo, yes, because Monique is wearing this yellow number with the tentacle fingers, but it's got black and white in it, and Monet's got the black yellow kind of chevron-y stripe with these crazy you know, fringy things. I'm thinking like of all the looks they were given pre-season to prepare for. A black and yellow or black, yellow, white look was a thing that was a challenge.
Possibly mentioned, huh?
Yeah. And that's why there's so much of it that kind of came across. That's a guess on my part. Then, of course, we have Team Telenovela Legs, which was the leftovers, Naomi and Valentina. Valentina was practically humping Trinity during the selection process that Latrice was putting together. It was quite comical because Trinity wasn't having it. She was just standing there. And then when she got put together with Manila, that automatically made Naomi and Valentina get together, which is fine. So they, however, were probably the kookiest team, and this is an example of that, because I just want to recognize, like, what I said about painting the room. If you didn't see the episode, shame on you. By the way, tons of spoilers coming. This Naomi is looking like almost the construction worker out of the YMCA with them jeans and, like, the white, you know, undershirt on. And Valentina is on top of her in this picture, painting the wall silver in these ridiculous heels, this black hat and thing, and, like, black, like, kind of, like, briefy panties. And apparently Naomi said in confessional that Valentina wanted to, her to dress alike. And Naomi was like, no.
No. I'm just so, like, I don't even know how, what to, like, say about this team, except what the fuck? Like.
Well, I mean, what more is there? What more is there to say? It's Club 96.
Club 96.
Stupidest tagline ever in the history of the series. I was like, this is awful. Like, and what's worse is
it's not.
Well, and Naomi said it like 20,000 times apparently, because they just kept using her saying it over and over and over again. And I was like, oh, she's never going to live us down. Never.
Like, that's my thing. Like, I hate to say it. It worked. Like, it's stupid. Right. Yes.
Right.
Totally fucking stupid. But it is, like, marketing, like, 101. It stuck in my head.
Right.
And I don't know if that's because she said it so many times. I'm going to say it's probably because she said it so many times. Or if it's just like, oh, I got it. Like, oh, there is the, like, they talked about it at first as it being like the opposite of 69, because they're like, instead of like facing each other, they're facing away from each other because they're so pretentious and whatever.
Only notably, at every shot they're together, they are facing each other. So they didn't quite carry that theme well forward as the hosts of their own club. So,
semantics, whatever. Whatever.
Well, the whole concept was is that everything was supposed to be chic and fashionable, but everyone was supposed to be totally wrapped up in themselves.
Yeah.
In other words, it was Valentina's, like, favorite place to be. So.
Where's that sound?
Oh, you mean this one? Just saying.
Ooh. But yeah, so but it stuck with me, and which is the funny part, is it stuck with me. So getting into my
what are your thoughts on the challenge?
I call this wild and weird.
Okay,
like there's some very like. The whole episode was just this weird, wild mix of different things. There's so much going on. And I get it. They had a lot to do. Like, you had to come up with the concept, create that, design that concept, put that concept into reality, and then talk about it, like, sell it as you're, like, promoting the club. Like this is your, like, promotional video about your club. And then you have to give everything all in this, like, I'm not going to say one take. I'm sure it was more than one take, but, like, get all of this together. And it just became this, like, I don't call it a hodgepodge, but it was a lot of, like, things all at once that kind of come at you. And I'm glad they did pairs, and with the exception of the one that's in front of us, that was a trio, because it made it slightly easier to play off each other. Like, that was the one thing I wanted to say about Manila, Latrice, and Trinity was all three of them have some really great hosting MC personalities. Like, I can tell from the get-go that they probably all have hosted shows before in the past and know that trick and know how to catch things and are good with, like, improv and whatever. But it was very easy for someone to kind of keep falling back into the background. And honestly, for me, I thought it was going to be for me, it was Latrice for a while.
I actually thought Trinity out of the three of them was the one that fell back the most, especially in this segment to camera where they're talking. Oh, yeah. It was definitely like the Manila show. And again, she's a hog. We've talked about this when she does her lip syncs and she's on stage in the lip sync battles. And then, like, even in this, I was kind of like, God bless. And what bothers me is I don't think she can see it. I honestly think she's oblivious to it, I don't know if anyone can really kind of point it out to her. And I, as just a RuPaul's Drag Race fan, am probably not the person to, you know, say such a thing, especially like if I was like a meet and greet and about to get my picture taken and be like, hey, by the way, I think you're kind of like self-centered and a bully. Jeez. So, yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's not the time nor the place. But if I was a good Judy of hers, attention, people, I would probably like kind of give her that reference, you know. And if it's all because it's on camera and she's not really like that in real life when she performs, when she's out and about, that's fine. That's more about, like, you know, your character of a TV show as opposed to reality. But that this is the argument that's been ongoing for several years now about this show is – how do people understand the difference between reality television and reality? Mm-hmm. Because
very
there's
true.
A distinct difference. For me, I just said fun, self-centered, and kooky. I felt that this was fun as a particular grouping. I liked what they did. You know, they had the bee teeny as their drink, and it had bee pollen around the edge. Although I think I know what bee pollen looks like, and it does not look like glitter, just for the record.
No, it was probably sugar. I think they were just – they were going full fucking throttle with those bee buns.
Well, yeah. I mean, Manila was probably to blame for that. So there was that. And the particular with the black hole, I thought that this one was the kooky one, like, mm-hmm. You know, that it was just so, no pun intended, out of there, like kind of wild and weird. And I was a little concerned for them, but I think it came off pretty well. And the whole gag with the three-headed alien baby in the incubator and how, like, I think Monet's reaching in and then Monique, like, scares her and does something. Oh, okay.
Opposite. Yeah, Monique is reaching in, like, oh, you can reach in. And then Monique goes, ha. And she goes, oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought that.
I'm going to take my head off.
Yeah, no, I thought it was I thought it was pretty fun. So I definitely like that one. And then Club 96 for me was the self-centered one. And it's not. So this is the challenge of this particular challenge was this duo. Naomi admittedly talks in, you know, confessional – or not in confessional, like in later in the episode about the fact that she put in the majority of the work. And, you know, she was the one that kind of pulled a lot of stuff together to make this happen. And mm-hmm. then Valentina was pretty much just serving look and, you know, attitude and the rest of it. Now, that's not to say that Valentina didn't do any work. I mean, she did help come up with the concept and carry some things through. I'm not sure if the outfit that – all right, so the outfits were amazingly similar, yet different.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm not sure of is if they're both the same queen's outfit. Like if Valentina or Naomi owned both of these and they just let the other one borrow it for the sake of the challenge.
Or if they just happen to have the same.
Right. Like, I find that incredibly curious if they both had, like, almost identical outfits.
I will say this much. I am living for Naomi's look. I've loved it. I loved it when she first showed up. I love this, like, the kind of big afro kind of wig and this very, like, nude, almost like the plastic kind of look of it.
Mm-hmm.
It just works really well on her. So kudos to her for this kind of look. I love what she did with her makeup. I love kind of all the things that are happening. Valentina is Valentina because it's flowers, and I don't really – whatever. So,
yeah, she got a thing for flowers. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah. And, like, I will say this much. Like you said, this was kind of the self-centered one. Like, I look at their – like, the drinks that they're holding is their specialty drink, which was called – do-do-do-do-do-do-do. The, like, something refresher.
It's a really kind of silly thin teeny. They wanted these ridiculous like vases to be your glasses with these long ass straws, and then in the edit they made it look like it was difficult to drink out of them.
Yeah,
and I was like, it's not difficult to drink out of these. Like straw is a straw, people. Like only if you're not looking at the straw at the moment you go to take a drink do you look stupid. Like that's when it goes up your nose and sideways and around your mouth. It doesn't
land. Exactly. Like, that was my thing. Like, they were trying to, like, do this whole, like, oh, these are really difficult. And I want to be like, have you been to Las Vegas? Like
Las Vegas, New Orleans. Like any party city, Orlando, like Miami.
Big ass leak. Like this is pretty much the same size of those big ass like drinks that you see people walking down the street drinking.
Right. Have you ever been on a cruise to Mexico or the islands where you get a yard exactly. drink like Senor yeah. Frogs? Come on. Give me a break.
Come on. It's not that hard. It wasn't that hard at all. They just wanted to make it look that way to kind of show that this was the group that wasn't doing so great.
Well, there was one little thing also I just want to briefly mention that they did in this that was comical to me and I thought was a really good funny shout out for some like off camera drama from a previous season where Valentina puts one single red M&M and lets it fall to the bottom of the drink. It was a great shot. It looked beautiful and I cackled. I was like, "Oh, she did not just do that." I was like, "She crazy. She cray cray." In that case, anything else you want to say about the challenge?
Mm-mm.
All right. So let's talk about the runway. Come on, girl. Put the bass in your wall.
Category is plastique fantastique.
Right. This actually was not a bad name as a conceptual idea for a theme. Because sometimes I think they just like scrape anybody's brain on the production staff to come up with a name of a theme. This one in particular, though, I got excited about. When Rue said plastique fantastique, I was like, oh, I think I know what I'm about to see. Hold up. Not the case. I was not ready for some things. I'm just going to say that. This is the thing I was not ready for. Miss Latrice done pulled out the stops and wore a head-to-toe latex couture outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And John Pauly kind of made a silly joke reference about anal beads because she's got this crazy ponytail of all these blown-up balloon balls coming off of her head. And it's purple, it's teal, it's kind of octopusy, like it's cartoony anime. It's insane.
She had these big ass lashes on too. Like it just all so worked together.
She looked kind of crazy. So I was not ready for that. Miss Manila, these are the backstage photos we're running through here real quick. This is exactly what I was thinking I would get out of her. I didn't know what to expect, but I knew she was going to do something probably kooky because that's on brand for her. She comes out with a fake fruit basket on her head, the cellophane wrapped, and then she made a dress out of cellophane and put a ribbon around it. And I was like, mm-hmm. All right, you go, Carmen Miranda, like the banana girl, all that jazz.
Carmen
like,
Miranda, dear, yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of cracked me up. And then Miss Monet Exchange. I got more to say about this outfit in a little bit, but it was stunning, in my opinion. I was not
very much so. I was not prepared for when she came out of that runway with this on. Like,
Miss Monique decided to blend a couple things together, and the one thing that she was really trying to serve was, and the name goes out of my head. Damn it, I'm forgetting.
Josephine Baker.
Thank you. Josephine Baker in the banana outfit. If you don't know who that is, kittens, go look it up on Google. Get yourself some herstory on that stuff because that's where the reference on the belt and the bottom of the outfit comes from. So I thought that was an interesting choice. And then we've got Miss Naomi who is serving like kind of a crazy 60s like Brit pop kind of
– yeah.
like cartoony kind of thing. I also didn't realize until right before pre-show that her hair matched her like coat wrap almost perfectly as a color, but she's wearing all these like, I think they're called paillettes, those circles all in that dress, that kind of deal. And then Trinity did something I was not expecting at all, which is this crazy pink bubblegum like splash paint like hard shell outfit thing. With the kind of gauntlet forearm covers, this crazy, like probably cut a bitch with this wig because it will never move in a million years, not in a hurricane, girl, because it is so stiff. And this kind of swept back kind of pastel rose look. And last but not least, Miss Valentina, actually, sorry, Miss Venezuela, Miss Pastique, Miss, I don't know, but I got what she was going for. Like, it was definitively a Latin Miss Venezuela Barbie doll out of the box kind of like crowning thing. So yeah, I was like, okay, girl, there's that thing. So Damon, what were your thoughts on the runway as we go through?
I kind of said like hits and misses for me. Mm-hmm. And I know we kind of have a theme for that, but there's some sort of thing like there are some very good hits, like Latrice, Manila, Monet were like my hits. Like they were just so, a Trinity. Like they were some like unexpected good shots. Like I love them. I love what they did. I like what they did. Unfortunately for me, Monique's was just, I get what she was going for, but I honestly, I wish she had just I look at the original image that Josephine Baker.
Right.
And I'm kind of like, this isn't even, it's not even close. Like I just, it's a very, very, very pale imitation.
Right.
And I wish you could have just gone that route. If you're going to go that route, then go all the way. Mm-hmm. Don't kind of half-ass it and don't compare it to it in that sense. Like, it just didn't work. Anyway. Right. And then finally, like, Naomi's looks like something she always wears. Mm-hmm. It's not great. It's not perfect, but it's, And then, unfortunately for me, I was not a big fan of Barbie doll Valentina. And the main reason I wasn't a fan of it was because the dress, the top bottom was too short.
I think that was intentional, personally.
If it was intentional, I didn't like it.
That's okay.
I didn't like it. It was a miss for me. If it was intentional or not.
Right. Because there was chatter about that, and there was discussion actually online in which I saw some people were kind of like, what was the deal with that look? And I think it had to do with the fact that she was trying to give that plastic doll fantasy, and how was it Trixie or somebody else made a comment, and it cracked me up because it was like, who hasn't tried to look at the genitalia on your dolls when you were a kid, like, and been disappointed by the fact that there's nothing there?
Carson mentions it in the judging critique.
Right. And so, like, so to me, like, I understood what that was. Like, I was a little surprised, too, when she first walked out and how the bottom of her outfit, like, at first I was like, what's wrong with that? And then I was like, oh, no, this appears to be very intentional. She wants this, like, panty thing to be showing. And
showing. Yeah. So. And, like, so as we're getting to, like, Monique's kind of look here, it's one of the things that, to me, like, the worst part is that it just doesn't work for me. Like the top is just too, and the bananas on the bottom don't really do what I think she was intending them to do.
Right.
Cause they're just kind of hanging there and they're lifeless.
And I hate to say it, but like, I was not thrilled with this look in particular because, all right, I'm just going to say it. The whole time I watched her, I was like, wow, this is like your first season. Not All Stars. It was such a step backwards from everything else she's been serving All Stars for. I just was shocked at like how I was not gagged by it. I was not surprised by it. I was confused by it. Like, it's not a bad look. Like, apparently some people are really reading her about her hair, the big finger wave kind of thing that she did with her wig. I don't care about that. I thought her face, like her makeup was interesting. It was like cohesive into stuff. Like, but it just looks like a little too like over the top and yet not enough. I just I don't know. I was kind of confused.
This looks like design on a dime.
Girl,
sorry, designer whoever made this.
Go to the dollar store and make yourself an outfit. Yeah.
Yeah. This just, it gives me, I'm not, and I hate to say it like that, but it just gives me like, this was kind of put together. You know, I had a day to put something together. And like you said, it's very much like her, you know, like her first, you know, like when she first was on the show, you know, I had a day to put all this together and this is what I came up with. And like I said, it just doesn't it's not that it's not fitting. It's not that it's not, you know, it doesn't look, it just doesn't look good. It just looks cheap. It looks very just like,
right.
Ugh. Like, anyway, sorry.
I understand. I'm not necessarily a fan of it either. So for me, I said, it's all about bringing more to the runway. And I think some of the queens, like, it's all stars. And while it's not fair because stunning looks cost money, but when you walk out, I should be surprised. Like, I should be surprised in a regular season by what you bring, but when it's all stars, I should not look at an outfit and be like, nah, okay. Like, I should find something unique about whatever that particular thing is, because like, this is kind of the, you know, world championships of drag here, at least, you know, in our hemisphere, stateside, you know. And there's this thing, you know, now that there's so much focus on, like, fashion and how it gets brought into stuff. And while it's not fair necessarily to maybe to queens who don't have, like, the sponsorship, the backing, the funds, all that kind of jazz, it's all-stars, and so I'm expecting really to be wowed by things. And I can probably be wowed by things that don't cost a lot. You know, but there's definitely some artistry and some other things that come up. And so that's why for me, I was saying it's all more about bringing more to the runway. You know, like Trinity is one of them right here, that she walked out in this crazy, like chewed gum splash, like 3D printed. I don't know. Like I was gagged. I was like,
yeah,
okay. That's amazing.
I loved this. This was one of the things that I personally, I think this was my favorite of the group. And the main reason was it's her. Like this is something I could see her wearing. This is something I see her like potentially, she got probably made for her. She probably spent hours like sitting in a mold of some kind. And then someone had to take it and then put this thing together. Right. You know, it's not, you know, I wished it were a little, you know, form fitting on the size, but you probably couldn't get in it otherwise. You know, she had to do something.
Yeah, because none of these pictures showed, but I think it's clear, like plexiglass, kind of like vinyl straps that hold it together. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty damned amazing. Like there was nothing about it that I, you know, the only thing that like didn't make sense to me was the earrings, but that's just because they're these ridiculous drag pageant earrings that are big enough to be bracelets. I mean, come on.
And I think I love the fact that she got like are made the boots to match.
Yes.
Like that to me was like, yes, like this all kind of works together. This is definitely an outfit you thought about and put together for this specific piece or whatever. I can see her performing in it really well. She didn't. And we'll probably get to that.
Well, here's the thing is for me is that I want to see this live. Like if I have a chance to see Trinity, of all the outfits that I can recall that she's ever worn, this is probably the top one that I want to see real life in living color. Like I don't think she can do a ton of crazy dancing in this. I think she can move around, but like I doubt very highly you can get away with death drops and shablams and that kind of thing in this.
It'll probably fall the fuck apart.
You know, so this is the Valentina thing we were talking about. For me, this is part of that. You're bringing something to the runway. It is different. I didn't dislike it. I understood what was being delivered. I thought it was a little odd that if you're going for this like plastic doll princess in a box kind of deal and she's walking around and carrying these roses or whatever, then the more I think about it, I don't know why I got to see your hoo-ha. Like your dress should not be showing that. Like I understand aesthetically you're trying to make sure that everybody understands that you're a plastic doll, but you don't have to show that to us, just for the record. I will say this. I thought her crown was amazing. I still get drawn to it visually every single time I see a picture of her in this outfit. I'm just like, that's some ice princess crystal like gem kind of, you know, delivery thing or something. I was really happy with that. But I agree with you. Like some of these looks were definitely hits, you know, and that's what I mean by like they were bringing it to the runway. You know, Latrice never, ever, in my lifetime did I think I would see her in latex. I just and it was funny because I think there was a joke made on Race Chaser podcast about how they must have had a fan on her constantly the entire time she was in this outfit, because Latrice is a sweater no matter what she's wearing. So like, was she leaving a puddle everywhere she walked in this thing? Because latex makes you sweat, kids. Like, it just it runs out of you. So I thought that was kind of crazy. She looks so happy in this picture, this shot.
Yeah.
Like, and I loved how her lips were an immaculate, like, color match to the bottom of the outfit at the flare. Yeah, it was just definitely, definitely on point. For me, Manila was one of the ones that I thought was a hit. Like, it wasn't as great as some of the others. And this is where the problem comes in for All-Stars, is that you raise the bar, everyone brings their game and then some. And then you have this. And while it's cute and it's fun, it's just not quite, like, you just can't overcome some of the other looks. And I'm sorry, compared to Latrice, Manila, you're just not quite there.
Yeah.
So
this was nice.
I love this shot. She looks very nonplussed. She's like, I think this was during judges panel when they were kind of, you know, critiquing, and you started to get the impression that she was not the shining star of her team. In that case, I do want to talk about this with Monet Exchange. So there was some criticism in the fashion photo review that Raja was not happy about the what looks like a black panty underneath on the bottom. I just think that. Mm-hmm. She was wearing probably darker panty of some sort, and then all the tights, pantyhose, hose, like, and so that kind of made that area darker, but unintentionally. I didn't highlight it in these particular shots, but it was very disturbing to me. I was not a fan of the condensation, like the rain cloud between your breasticles, girl, because like, the shit can't breathe. And I get it. Like, I think Aquaria made a comment about, like, you know, that she won't wear something that's clear for this very reason, because she doesn't want that to show up. So while for her, the clear aesthetic was great, she just wasn't, you know, that much of a fan because of that. And to me, this is probably the later hours, the second of the runway walks. Do you know what I mean? Because in the first one, that's not an issue when she comes out. And that's, you know, not something that you necessarily see. And even when they're doing judges panel, like, you're not seeing that. So I think she had a chance to be able to take it off, Windex wipe the inside of it or something, you know. but I want to definitively give Monet all the props in the world, because I thought this look was stunning.
It was.
And this candy cotton floss, like, crazy color pink with a little teal, like, and like purple lipstick, like the whole thing. I was just like, holy shit, like this is the finest I think I've ever seen her look.
So more than likely the crystals on the stones on the bodice are probably like the aurora borealis crystals, so they have that kind of pink and blues and kind of yellowy lusters on them, so it all kind of blurs together. And I'm glad she went that route and with this very pink hair, because it just kind of adds a little element of thought to it.
Right.
I am in love with this look. I'm in love with the structure. I'm in love with what she did with it. I don't care that you can see her panties or whatever. I personally don't give a fuck. It makes it easier for me to be like, oh, it's just very well made.
Yeah. The only thing I thought that would have fixed the condensation issue is that right up the middle, there's all these like jewels or stones. But if you look like over where the lines come down, like over the nipples and that, those are actually holes. Like, so it's panels. So what I think is bad is that the whole middle was one panel piece, and then you've got the two sides. I think if it had been four, so the two came together in the middle, you could have put those holes up the middle, like rivet style, put the stones around them, and it wouldn't have taken away from the design by any means, and that would have allowed you to breathe, or your skin to breathe, or whatever. That's the only, it's the only thing about it, like, kind of as a critique. But I mean, even the boots, I mean, the kind of like thigh-high gauntlet type deal she's wearing to go with the heels and stuff, and the gladiator shoulders, like, oh yeah, I was gagged. Floored by that particular.
Love it.
So she was one of the ones that was kind of a hit for me. And like we talked about, Miss Monique, I'm like, no, sorry, girl. Like, it's just not happening.
All right.
And Miss Naomi was another one that was kind of a miss for me. Like, she just came out and I was like, okay. So I was really concerned for her safety in the future that she was going to do. So, and speaking of looks, I want to make sure that I give this shout out because I want to talk about this hair. So for those of you that saw the episode, RuPaul came out with hair I think that I have never seen her wear ever in the entire series. Delta, to my knowledge, is still doing the hair. And I think this deserves props. It practically needs an award. She came out with this look and I was like, holy shit. I'm not a fan of the gown, honestly, but the hair is just stupefying to me. I was like, wow, it's so volumed, but it's like sculptured with this whole, like the sides, like the whole sideburn kind of upper temple area is swept back from the top of your forehead is this huge kind of pullback bouffant. Like, and I kept trying to figure out what it was making me think of. And I finally realized it today before we went to pre-show. It is not a replica, but it makes me think of Tina Turner, Mad Max. This, like, you know, this crazy,
yeah,
kind of big powerhouse bitch kind of hair thing. I was totally living for it. I was just like, yes, 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 mama. For once, I'm not bitching about how boring or awful your shit is. Not that it's bad all the time, but I know in the series of us doing tea time, I tend to be a little more critical than not. In that
not
case.
You.
Never. Imagine that. All right, so are you ready to go on and talk about the lip sync?
Sure.
All right.
The time has come. Ready to lip sync for your legacy. Good luck, and don't fuck it up.
Yes. So the way it all shakes out, which
spoiler.
Well, it's interesting. That's very true. We should probably let people know about that. So I presumed that a team would win and a team would go home. And that's not how it played out. A team was in the bottom, but an entire team was not in the top.
Correct.
Which was sort of surprising to me. So, and that was the thing I was not prepared for necessarily. It ends up being that Latrice and Trinity are our top two.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones that are going to lip sync for their legacy. And Naomi and Valentina are the bottom two, which I'm not surprised by.
Ditto. So. This was the one time where I wasn't surprised by who was in the bottom. And as you know, they talk about it a lot of time, and I hate to keep agreeing with stuff, but this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. Like, this is All Stars. Like, you need to step it up. You need to do it, get it all out there, and do the best you can. You can't half-ass anything. You can't get in your own head about stuff. You need to do the best that you can and do it well, or you're going home. Like, mm-hmm. We are at the point now. We're now past, not really past the halfway point, but we're kind of at that point. Someone has come back. We're kind of halfway-ish, you know.
Right.
So, like, hey, like, now is the time to start making those moves and start getting up there and doing everything that you can. And, yeah.
So I'm sure you want to talk about the lip sync.
Oh, sure. Let's talk about this lip sync, shall we? So we know it's Trinity and Latrice.
Right. So Latrice comes out as this like kind of power warrior look, same lips, which is the only critique I had about the lip sync. I was like, girl, you couldn't like try to put some green on top of that.
No.
But she has this green and gold, you know, leotard, you know, with these kind of like the
high collar.
Thank you. I was going to say wings, and I'm like, they're not wings. So she's definitely kind of serving this thing. And then Trinity does this thing.
So Trinity says, like, in the, like, before we get to this, like, I want the show that I'm more than just like what I've been kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. And so we see her in, they're grabbing the lipsticks, and I see this like ratty, like white hair and these glasses, and I haven't like, and she's wearing the bathing, the robe, the leopard print robe. And I'm just like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And then we get this. So obviously she's trying to play this old like character. She comes in with a walker, like a walking cane.
Yeah, first. She came in with a cane, a four-footed cane.
And then she's wearing flats and everything else. And then she takes off this robe, big hunched over back, like rib kind of, I mean, I guess it's meant to be like wrinkly old skin, these saggy, like boo, whatever's like hanging. They have like pasties on them. She's got like a white brief of some kind on. It's for me, and this is my, like my, big ass critique for this. My critique is what the fuck? WTF, what the fuck was this? Where were you thinking? The song is You Spin Me Round. So it's a, you know, so nothing makes sense. This look doesn't make sense. the song doesn't make sense to the look. Nothing like, I can't even like right now. It's just so like awful, and I don't even want to know. I don't know if like Trinity was trying to like throw this to Latrice, because holy shit, this was not the look to be like, I'm gonna win my $10,000 on this. No.
Right. My whole thing was, you know, it was very confusing because she was supposed to be like a very older lady, but like with the titties, but she looks a lot like an old man.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Like, there was so much about this lipstick that didn't make sense. So You Spin Me Round by Dead or Alive is the song. It's a gay classic. It gets played in dance clubs all the time. Everybody goes nuts, blah, blah, blah. It, like, there's so many remixes of it. So everybody knows the song. But I was like, wait. It's sung by men. Not that that's never happened in the history of Drag Race before, but it is a little like, huh? Mm-hmm. So, and then you've got Latrice. I mean, you know, it was so crazy for me. I can't stop laughing about it because I think it's funny. I know people are kind of pissy about it, but I said, talk about crazy strange. This to me is one of the most memorable lip syncs ever in the history of this series, just because it's so weird. Just so odd. The first moment she comes walking out on stage, the judges are cracking up already. Like, Michelle starts to laugh, and I was like, oh, here we go. Like, I wonder how long it took them to get their shit together so they could film it, because, you know, she was going for something extreme in the comedy thing. It wasn't – this is a really bad reference. I don't want to call it a Shangie. I don't think it was necessarily a Shangela stunt. But it was definitely a look and a thing. And the fact that you brought up about whether or not she decided to throw it to Latrice is very interesting to me, because I thought about that later and I was like, I wonder like if this came down to the fact that somebody didn't want to have to make the decision on who goes home, because it was sort of obvious who should go home.
Yes.
Based on
things. And it's just something to me like like this was not the time to do this. This was not the song to do this to. This was just not the time. It just doesn't work.
I guess a totally different camp. I'm perfectly fine with it because it's so stupid. It just makes me laugh. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Mm-mm. I think in the history of the series, and I'm okay with it because, like, it just got to the end. It needed to get us to where we were.
You go on ahead and be okay with it.
Dun, dun, dun. Because it makes Latrice reveal her lipstick, and then Latrice has an emotional moment, which some people online are calling crocodile tears. They don't think she was really that upset. But she delivers this dramatic revelation that she sends Valentina home. And apparently has already been getting so much shit online about sending Valentina home.
Oh, my God.
Because she apparently put a tweet out about, like, you know, don't come for me or whatever. And I was like, oh.
Girl. So I want to talk about that for a really quick second, because to me, that's I'm getting tired of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like this. First of all, this is a fucking competition. Mm-hmm. Someone has to win. Like, and in order to win, you have to send someone home.
Exactly.
It happens every week. It's like nothing new. Like whatever. I get it. Valentina is lovely. She's been loved. She's talented in some ways. She's great looking. But no. She has not been high ranking in this game. Like, and recently she's kind of fallen back. And this was I knew it when 2 weeks ago we had the whole, you know, dilemma with the challenge and no one went home. And I was like, oh, well, but look at what she did. She didn't do a whole lot. She didn't do that great. She didn't do great in Snatch Game. You know, there's these things to me that are like, while Valentina is great in some ways, there are a lot of ways where she is not great. And unfortunately, that means she may go home. Like, that is the reality, mm-hmm. reality Agreed. Of this thing. So, like, let's stop with this, like, hating on people doing their job and sending her home.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to happen 2 weeks ago if they didn't save her, if they didn't save anybody.
Well, and that's the whole drama of the online rumor, right? They're all like, oh, the week that Valentina was going to go home, suddenly there's a double save. How mm-hmm. convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And all the queens that were on the season agree. They've all basically said over and over again, even queens who were not on the season, to say there was a double save planned. It was probably going to happen then, no matter who was expected to go home. It's mm-hmm. just...
It just so happened to be that it was
right.
Valentina that they ended up – and they ended up showing right. that they were going to be sending home.
Right. So we got her for 2 more weeks. There you go. Instead of going home at 5, she went home at 7. And, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I understand why people are into Valentina. You know, this has something to do with it. She, you know, is a person who's in her own world. This is very not much a flattering picture, but I just had to put it in because it's so hysterical. While they're planning Club 96, there's this crazy kooky thing about where she's like, I need to, what is it? I need to be inspired. I need to, like, I don't know. I need to have a moment or in my planning. And then she needs her French vanilla fantasy. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, oh, we're still dealing with Valentina's world. Like, it's her whatever,
fantasy.
Her little coconut head, as she says. And I'm like, oh, honey. So
it just, anyway, I can't, we should move on.
I could probably talk on. She gave us good face. So I will say that she gave us good television. So we went from Latrice coming back with 3 queens gone, and then dun dun dun, we end up with Valentina going home. So now we're down to 6 queens yet again. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, and we're running out of time. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen. Personally, for me, of the ones that are left, I think Naomi's probably the next one to get picked off.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, go ahead.
No, I kind of agree. I don't want to. I love Naomi to death, and I just think that these challenges are becoming not her thing. And she admitted right. on this episode that comedy and whatnot is not her greatest thing. It's not her greatest moment. Right. So, but I will admit that I love that she did, according to her, 80% of the work of their team.
Correct.
And that shows a lot. And given what we got. Like, I didn't hate it. I won't say it was terrible. But of the 3, like, clubs, it was the worst.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that it was awful. It just means that...
It was the lowest.
It was the lowest.
And she deservedly, in my opinion, had to stay. Like, when you look at the challenge, I think the challenge mattered more than the runway in this case between the two of them. And that was why I was glad that the selection was made. It was kind of report cardish, like, you know, Valentina and, you know, Naomi said in confessional, I think it was, you know, she was asked flat out, how much work did you do? And she answered the question. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, while I like Naomi overall, like, she is very much kind of a model kind of drag queen. Like, she serves amazing looks. She's got great legs. She is talented, but she's just not a whole package. Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, the art on the side of, like, you know, singing and maybe, you know, kind of delivering on some stuff. So, yeah, so she's most likely next. And then after that, to me, it's kind of a grab bag. I definitely think that Manila and Trinity are in the lead. Latrice is in the worst position by far right now because she has to win every single remaining challenge.
True.
Or she is most likely to be on the chopping block, whether she wants to or not.
Yep.
So I guess maybe Monique might be, like, kind of questionable to continue on. If that's the case, then it becomes maybe the Manila, Monet, and Trinity, like, thing. I don't know. So we shall see where that plays out. Let's kind of wrap this up and get into our snaps and eye rolls here.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines and may the best all-star win.
So, hits and misses, snaps and eye rolls, as we call them. Damon, what was the high points or the snaps for you in this particular episode?
So there's two moments here, and I will go through them relatively quickly. My favorite one was the funny moment with Latrice in the coveralls. So
I almost got a snapshot of the moose knuckle moment. It was just insane.
So, as you saw, like, they had to paint their rooms for the club, and everyone's getting in their overalls, and Latrice is having difficulties. And as someone who is a larger person, I understand these difficulties. Sometimes when coveralls are meant for one size fits most, sometimes that most is not you. And you end up with these weird things where you gotta have to almost like, like, put your arm out of the socket to get into it, and then so she's having these moments. She's sweating, like, and Trinity and Manila are trying to help her, and everything is just, it was classic, like, sticky comedy, you know, moment. And then when she finally gets it on, there's that clear, like, oh, like, everything is very, very cinched up.
Right. And there was a part of me that was like, do we really have to zoom in on that on camera? Because I'm pretty sure Latrice does not want her junk just, like, you know, being pictured that way, let alone, you know, on camera, on television. But
so it was great. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. And then my second one, honestly, is for Monet's runway. I think of all the things we saw, that was the most beautiful thing I've seen on her. So, like I said, so well made, so well structured. Condensation thing, I didn't particularly care. I mean, it didn't bother me because it's all plastic and, you know, it doesn't breathe. So, second place for me for the runway was Latrice.
Right.
Like, because that shit is amazing.
Right. And probably a one time only, like, unless you're going to pay Latrice lots of coin to get back into that outfit again, like, to be on stage. I don't see that happening, but could be surprised.
I'm going to do a number in this song, in this thing, and then this part is coming off, and then the rest of it's coming off. Like,
right.
This is my, like, we're going to, this is my last number of the night, because once we're done, all of it's coming off.
Right, and I will not be seen anymore. Like, I'm going to go backstage. I'm going to peel myself out of this, take my face off, pack my bags, get in the cab, and be gone, girl. That's it.
Be done. Bye-bye.
So, your eye rolls?
So, we kind of talked about it a little bit, but honestly, my eye rolls are for Trinity's lip sync for your life. I don't know if she was throwing the buck. Like I said, I don't know if she's throwing the buck over to Latrice, but this was a miss. Fire huge, huge misfire.
We'll agree to disagree because I don't see it as a misfire. I just see it as a oh my god, just so stupid, crazy, and like, because for me she delivered on it. She did exactly what she wanted to do. It was just not anything that anybody expected. Like, it was just too wild. So my snaps are for finally Cece Peniston channel into this moment. A new challenge, like, that I honestly thought was authentic. Like, maybe it's from another show and it was stolen. I don't give a shit about that. In the entire series, I don't think we've ever had a room design challenge that pushed them so far that as a team they had to, like, come up with the aesthetics, the name. I mean, so many elements. I was just really, really happy about this particular episode. And then my eye rolls are for reality versus fantasy. Imagine that. Some people are living in a real world and some people are in a fantasy world. It's not a material world, girls. It's a fantasy world. I hate to break it to you. Valentina. Not the same thing.
Valentina. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. She's in her own world. So, that's kind of it. We're, like we said, we're back down to six and we'll see where it goes from here. Anything else before we wrap up here, Damon?
No, I think that's everything.
All right. So if you want to get in touch with us, there's plenty of ways to do that. You can visit our blog, cubsoutloud.com. You can send us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail. You could tell us whether or not that we can get access to Club 96. Sexy or otherwise, any of those type of messages, the number is 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. Social media-wise, just type in Cubs Out Loud as one word. You'll probably find us there. If you would like to join our Entourage chat, that's at tinyurl.com/telegram-CoLDR. And when it comes to supporting Cubs Out Loud overall, you can go to Zazzle.com/Cubs Out Loud and you can get some nice merch like Damon and I happen to be wearing. So Damon is actually wearing a lovely, nice blue t-shirt with our CoLDR logo on it with the crown and says Drag
Can I get
Race.
It up a little more? There we go. Yeah, you can see it.
I happen to be wearing one of our caps from the regular line along with the Consent is My Foreplay. So it's a little bit of everything and anything. If you would like to subscribe, you can. You can join us at patreon.com/cubsoutloud. We're about to have our monthly renewal coming up on February 1st. So thanks to all our patrons for donating as little as a dollar a month to give us funds, which honestly are helping us cover the domain and the hosting. And we got Damon a new camera and, you know, did some stuff. So that's been awesome. If you want to help promote COL, just rate us on iTunes, you know, 5 stars, preferably. Thank you very much. You can also subscribe to us pretty much anywhere that you get a podcast for the audio version or even the video version. We do it here live on YouTube. The plan currently is to do it on Sunday nights, which is just about 2 days after the Friday night airing of the shows. And then we put out an RSS audio feed later in the week. So you don't get to see our beautiful faces, but you can still listen to all our hootenanny and enjoy it. If they want to get in touch with us, where would they find you, Damon?
If you wish to get in touch with me, you can catch me as TheaterCup79 on most bear sites or Tumblr still. Or you can find me as Pup_Umbra on Twitter. And you, Mr. Gary?
If they want to get in touch with me, just type in GareBear73. That's GareBear73. Pretty much anywhere. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I have two different ones. One is GareBear73. The other one is GareBear73XXX. And that's because it has very adult content that I kind of retweet and love from other people.
It's a naughty. It's Gary's Tumblr. It's Gary's Twitter. After dark.
I knew you were going to do that. All right, kittens, as RuPaul has said, and I believe, we are born naked and the rest is drag. Peace out.